Traveling the Vortex.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Sean from Traveling the Vortex, joined, as always, by the lovely and beautiful and talented Mel.
Hello.
And we are coming to you pseudo-live from Galley 2013. And we've had a fun week so far. We came down a little early on a very long day, Tuesday, a lot of travel. A lot of planes, trains, and automobiles kind of situations, but got down here. And then just because we know people are... I don't know how rabid our fans are, but I know we seem to have fans that are very interested. So I thought what we would do is we took a day on Wednesday and we went to Universal Studios, Hollywood. And I thought we would take a little bit of time to kind of talk about that. And that way we won't bog down the podcast with, so what'd you do this week? And, you know, I have a really long story there, so I thought this will kind of be our little side trip onto Universal. And now, I've been to Orlando's version, but it was 20 years ago, and you've never been, right, Mel?
Nope, never been to Disneyland, any of that stuff.
What'd you think?
Universal, Sean tried to describe it to me a little bit, and it's like theme-based as far as like on a movie, like Transformers or Mummy or Jurassic Park, and it was just hard to conceptualize what he was talking about without actually experiencing any of it.
Because it's a little different than a standard amusement park.
Yeah, it's not an amusement park. And I was like, how in the world are you going to be able to spend a whole day doing this? And we did. We spent the whole day there. And it was awesome.
I was reading online, and I guess there are some people that kind of complain a little bit about Universal just from the standpoint that they really don't feel like there's much to do there from an attraction standpoint. And I think you and I... we'd have to disagree. I mean, it may not be as big or as flashy of some of the exhibits as, you know, say, at Disney World or maybe even the Hollywood in Orlando with the different lands and everything, but there's certainly a lot to do. They've got a couple of the big signature attractions.
Jurassic Park. The Mummy.
The Mummy, the Ride, and Transformers.
Transformers. They also have the Shrek and... Simpsons.
The Simpsons ride, and obviously King Kong, which is part of the studio tour.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they've got a couple of the big ones, but what they do is I think they do very well, is the total immersion experience that you kind of get, because everything from the themed area that you're in to the waiting in the line, the queue, the people and the way they dress, and you know, everybody that works in a specific area all does kind of the same thing. The people at Jurassic Park look like they work at Jurassic Park.
People at Transformers are dressed in camouflage because of the military being involved with the Transformers.
The nest operatives and whatnot. So I think they do a very good job in that. And it really kind of helps sell the idea of what's going on. But we got to Universal in the morning, and it was really a beautiful day for it. Nice weather, and actually got a little bit of sun. Still a little pink. But what was the first thing we did? Oh, we went to Baker Street.
Yep.
Walked down a reproduction of an English courtyard, which they had dubbed Baker Street, and
took your picture in front of the red police box.
The red police box, which we jokingly call the red police box, it's actually just red London. You know, it's just a phone booth, but
oh yeah.
We did that, and saw a couple of the sites there, and then went to the lower level of the, because it's kind of built on the side of a big hill. I mean, it's a mountain. And so went to the lower level, and we did Jurassic Park. What'd you think of that?
I love Jurassic Park. It's a water ride. I wasn't anticipating or expecting a water ride, but it was really good. I mean, when the doors opened up, it was like a squeal moment, because it's like you're actually sitting in the vehicle and walking through or driving through the big gates of Jurassic Park.
They really sell that moment. They've got, I think it might even be the same guy doing the voiceover.
No,
you know,
that does the tour on the
that does the tour and the thing. And so you're in the boat, and it's a big flume ride kind of thing. So you're, you know, five abreast and big, you know, Jurassic Park logo on the thing, and you go up the river, and it says Riverboat Tour here, the guy's talking about through the mists of time and the dinosaurs, and then the doors open and all of a sudden there's dinosaurs and everything. And of course it's all animatronic, but you don't care. It's just, it really kind of gives you that.
Well, and then that music is playing.
Yeah. Oh. It really gives you that sense of illusionment there. A lot of fog and beautiful waterfalls and very cool things. And of course, in typical Jurassic Park fashion, as Malcolm would say, oh yeah, first it's and later there's running and screaming. And you get diverted off course and into the behind the scenes of the kind of attack on the island as the raptors are getting loose and dinosaurs start eating everyone in the out of the pen, and the car drops on you, the Jeep from the first film, so, and the T-Rex shows up. That's cool. But it was a very, very cool scene. And of course, you know, being a water ride, there's a big drop at the end.
Yeah.
Splash Mountain style.
Oh, yeah. Next thing we read was The Mummy. Yeah, and Will, the Heckard, he would totally love this. We get on this ride, and it says excessive speeds, and, you know, all right, this is a true roller coaster ride. Not only is it a true roller coaster ride, but it's a backwards one, too.
Curse of the Mummy is a fairly, or Revenge of the Mummy, whatever the name of this thing is, it's a fairly intense thing. And you go in, and again, it's royal themed. It looks like you're walking through the tomb and the temples and whatnot.
Yeah, it was really dark in there.
It was really, in fact, I tripped over a wall, which there was kind of a left-hand turn, and I didn't turn. I smacked into it and heard the people behind me laughing, and I had to stop and say, hey, there's a wall here, be careful. But very well themed, well put together. And then you get in this thing, and it's an actual roller coaster indoors through, you know, the tunnel and tombs and holographic light shows.
Oh, yeah, they got the holographic dude up on the wall as you pass underneath him, and it was really cool how they had that in the wall.
And a couple of scare-inducing moments when, you know, you come to a complete stop in front of this wall, and scarabs are coming out everywhere and begin dropping on you.
It drops of water.
It drops of water, but because you're in the dark and you see this projection of the scarabs crawling everywhere, it's like, oh man, scarabs.
And then you go backwards.
And then it cuts through the entire thing backwards.
Sean was not happy.
I don't deal well with backwards. There's something about that unsettles me. I love roller coasters. Mel and I both, we love coasters. And something about backwards doesn't sit well with me. I'll still ride them, but... Now, I will say this. Universal, for whatever the flaws that people may conceive of the park, Universal gets full mad props for one of the coolest amusement park things ever. You know what I'm talking about? The Locker.
Oh, no lie.
This is apparent.
I thought you were talking about the one guy.
Mm. It was cool, too. They have a system set up there where... You walk up, and it's an electronic board, and you log in.
You log in with your fingerprint.
It's a thumbprint scanner, or a fingerprint scanner, and it scans your fingerprint, and then it assigns you a locker. And you put your stuff in the locker, and you go ride the rides, and then you come back, and you reactivate the screen, and activate the fingerprint, and it unlocks your locker, because it's fingerprint coded to just, you can be the only person to get into it. And it's free!
Yep.
So, you know, how you go to the amusement park and you get your camera bag and you won the prize at the you know,
ring
toss or whatever, and so you've got all this junk and you can't get on the roller coaster. Well, you just go lock it up, and it's genius, and it's free, at least the first, I don't know, 90 minutes.
90 minutes, yeah.
Were free, which the day that we went, I think the max line that we waited in was probably 20-25 minutes.
And that was for The Simpsons, and that was at the end of the day when everybody was trying to get in a ride before the park closed.
Everything else, we just kind of really walked up and got right on.
Yep.
So it was kind of great because we just left our stuff there and rode everything and then came back for it later, you know, because it was free. And it was fairly affordable, too. Now, compared to World's Fun and some of the other local amusement parks that we've been to where it's like $6 to rent a locker, and I mean, it's kind of insane. That was genius. I loved it. I love the fact that it's high-tech security. I love the fact that it's free, and I love the fact that you could just do it, ride what you wanted to ride, and then get off, and that they had several of those stations around, you know, the area. So it was really well done. So full props to them for that.
And they also had, now I've never been to Disney World Land or anything, but I've seen the commercials to where they have actors you know, that are dressed as Cinderella and whatever, and come and interact with the crowd. And they had that also with the Transformer ride, and they also had it at the Mummy ride, where they had a lady and a gentleman dressed in cosplayer costume as people of the Egyptian, and they were on stilts, though. The lady that I got my picture taken with, she basically had to bend down to touch my shoulder. That's how high up she was.
Yeah. Very tall stilts, with it, but underneath the costume, so they just looked like, you know,
and giants.
Like, like Anubis, kind of towering above people and stuff.
And then I got dragged off by the guy. That was fun.
And then we rode Transformers the Ride. Now, this is kind of a big deal because I think it was one of the first fully immersive 3D interactive theme park rides, and it was kind of a big deal at the time that it came out. And in fact, it's relatively new too to the park, and it's 3D. So you've got the glasses and everything. You sit in the car, and it kind of runs through, and you've got this screen that kind of, the car winds up running through into different screens, and then they project different things for each scene that you're in. And it's practical effects as well. There's water droplets and wind and things like that, as well as the 3D.
Well, even the flame, when one of the rockets blows up or something like that, they throw a burst of heat at you. So,
yeah.
I mean, you're actually a part of it.
Now, I've kind of been on record before saying I'm not the world's biggest Transformers fan. But I went into this, you know, because it's a theme park. I'm excited. I'm there for it. And it's kind of like having a very short, fun, meaningless relationship with someone. It's very loud and flashy, and there's a lot of explosions, and the 3D's not totally convincing, but there are parts of it that are really cool. And ultimately, it's a motion simulator.
It's a big, but you know those ones you find in the mall and you hop in and stuff, and it's just a really big motion simulator.
It's just a really big motion simulator, and it's cool.
Yeah.
But it's really, and I have a friend.
I prefer roller coasters.
Yeah, I have a friend who's going to hate to hear that because he's such a huge Transformers fan, and I don't know, maybe he'd get more out of it than I did. But it's a motion simulator. I can't get more excited over it than that because that's really all it was. It was cool, but that's it. Now, again, the setup. Walking through the Nest base of operations.
If you guys get a chance to check out the pictures that we took of walking into this, the whole setup was incredible that they did laid out. And this is just getting to the ride where you sit down or get in line to ride. It's amazing all the stuff that they had laid out and the story that they put up for all of it. It was just how much they did.
And then Peter Cullen talks to you. So, you know, when Optimus Prime says, "Recruits, we've earned a victory today, and it's thanks to you." You just kind of get that goosebump feeling because he's got such a great Gravatas voice. But
and when you got off the ride, there was Megatron was there. That you got your picture taken with Megatron. And then later when we came back to ride, of course, Jurassic Park again, Optimus Prime was out there, so we got a picture taken with Optimus Prime.
And very, very, very good costumes. In fact, I'm going to throw a shout out to iBot, which is Iron Brothers of Topeka, which is a group that we have, and they go around to a lot of the different conventions, and they do the Iron Man family of costumes, Iron Man and War Machine and Patriot and some of these things. And these guys put a lot of attention to detail in their costumes, and they're fantastic. And so if you get the opportunity, once again, upcoming Planet Comic Con in Kansas City in April this year, I believe they're going to be there, so make sure you go and check them out. But it was that level of costume, so I was kind of surprised in one way, because this is Universal, I kind of expected something a little bit better, but I think that just reflects on how good our guys back home can really do with that particular thing.
And then they have a couple of shows that aren't necessarily rides, but shows that you can see, and one was Special Effects. What was it called? Special Effects?
Special Effects Stage, I think is what it was.
Yes. Yeah, it's the Special Effects Stage was, they talked about both the old way,
the classic.
The classic way of doing special effects and the more current mostly widely used digital effects, and you got to see how those shots were set up, and they had people from the audience help them out. And that was really cool to see the different ways, like they shoot King Kong, or even more current things like, Hero. A couple of scenes from Hero.
It was great to see, it was specifically with King Kong, because they went through both versions. They brought up somebody in hair stand in you know, up on a platform, and then actually put a glass panel, you know, a matte painting in front of the camera, and, you know, blew wind in her hair and everything, and then it had a guy's gloved arm come in very close to the camera and reach around and grab her. But of course, since the camera only has one eye, it sees all this as one continuous flat image. And so that's kind of like how they would have done the original King Kong. But then they also brought a family up on stage, did the green screen work with, you know, look at this green ping pong paddle, and this is the monster, and it's chasing you. And then they would digitally put in a dinosaur behind them. So it was kind of cool to see the back and forth of both from the same movie.
Well, and not to mention the fact that, you know, it totally gives you a better appreciation of the actors. You know, the digital effects and stuff might be more powerful, more impressive and stuff like that, but that's also goes to show you that the actors, how incredible they are to be able to act on something that they're not seeing. They're reacting to something that they can't see and don't know is there. And before, that, I mean, they actually had somebody there that they could look at or something to interact with, whereas now it's just... here, do this.
Yeah, it was a very interesting melding blend of the two, of practical effects and digital, and just to kind of see a little bit of both, and, you know, the fake blood knife and the weightlessness and some of those different things. It was just a lot of fun to see that. So that's a definite show that we can recommend.
Next one would be Waterworld. Now,
that's probably my favorite.
Yes, Waterworld, I just has a special place in my heart. It's just one of those movies. It's just, I love it. I can keep going back and watching it. Kim Costner is freaking awesome in that movie. And they did I wouldn't say a reenactment. It's a
stunt show.
Stunt show.
Where they come out and they have a gigantic water tank, and it's meant to look like the inside of the atoll from the movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, then this attack happens, and there's squib hits and smoke and fire and fireworks and flames and explosions and you know, falls and punching people in the face and throwing them into the water and jet skis and
it wasn't as choreographed as well as what, like, the movie was or you know, anything like that, but I mean, just seeing some of the stunts that they do, the 50-foot dives and, you know, the ski board jumps and it was just awesome to be able to see all that, and things blow up, and you could feel the heat from the tank blowing up.
And I think
the plane crash.
The plane crash through the wall was really cool, because it's practically a full-size seaplane that comes over the wall and
crashes,
blows up in front of you. What I think most impressive is, it's a show, so it's got some hokey choreographed stuff going on. But at the same time, just my respect for these people is huge, because these are all stunt people. They're all doing this thing. And then, realistically, this is a show that they run 3-4 times a day.
Actually, it's 3 times a day, but they added a 4th show that day because it was obvious that
I just think they knew they were going to be a busy day, even though, like I said, we managed to miss most of the crowds and everything we did.
And they really blow the set up, so it takes a bit to put it back together.
But just to imagine that going through, I mean, it would be like going to a musical and having to hit your marks and sing the song and do all this kind of stuff, only in this case it's, okay,
physical.
I'm going to get punched in the face, and then I'm going to get thrown off of this building, and then I've got to swim over here to this mark before this explosion goes off, and... I mean, just the physical nature of it.
Well, and the actors, in no disrespect to them, but I can't remember off the top of my head, but they were, like, one of them was from, like, a CSI show, an actor, and another one was from, they went through at the end of the show and introduced themselves, and they had, I mean, the shows that they had been on, they may not have been the top billing, but it was shows that you knew, and they had played, you know, parts in these different TV
shows. And they might have been responsible for some of the stunt work in some of these shows. You know, one was Dexter, I think, the lead was on deck.
Oh, the Australian.
The Australian guy.
Yeah.
And stuff. But it was a very impressive show. If you get, and it's currently, I think it's rated like the number one theme park show right now. And it's easy to see why, because it is quite the spectacle. And it is an amazing thing. And I'm kind of with you. Waterworld's one of those that I think we can kind of agree it's not the best movie in the world.
No,
but it's a fun one to watch. And it's one that we just, for whatever reason, we giggle and we get into and just really enjoy the action phenomenon. And that's really what this stunt show does, is they really kind of nail that.
They also had, like, and we didn't go into it, it's called the House of Horrors, which we're not big horror fans. We didn't go to that one. And then they had the Shrek ride, which I love the Shrek movies, but we didn't go to that one. We did go to the Simpson one, which that one was the longest one that we had to wait in line for. And it's the same kind of ride that the Transformer.
It's another motion simulator.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was very fun. And it's Simpsons, and it's animated, and there's a lot of in-jokes.
Well, and there's a lot of playtime, too. I mean, a lot of, what do you call that, interactive. No, not even interactive. You're sitting in line, and they've got five different TV screens. And there's a doctor, a physician, that's on one screen that'll talk to you. And then there's two sisters on a different screen that'll talk to you. And then I don't even know who that one baker.
It was Willie, the groundskeeper.
The groundskeeper.
And then
on
Mo.
The milk boat, yeah.
And Apu from the Quickie Mart. And
well, they all take different turns talking to you while you're waiting and saying different things. And so it's got you not just standing in line waiting, but you're constantly moving around watching the different ones because they all take turns talking to you.
And it's again, it's all part of the theming. And I mean, the story to the ride is something about Sideshow Bob trying to show up at Krusty Land and, you know, ruining the new ride and the Simpsons involvement in it. But it was a lot of fun. But again, at the end of everything, it was like, it's a motion simulator. It's a gigantic, like, 8-story IMAX screen you're flying around in. But it's a motion simulator. Mm-hmm. And so, but it was fun. The House of Horrors, just real quick, I kind of feel bad in a way that we didn't do that one, because I imagine it's probably like a haunted house, you know, it's kind of a standard haunted house, but it's the classic Universal monsters. Glenn would have totally been all over this, because, you know, it's King Kong, or not King Kong, it's
Frankenstein
and the Mummy and
Dracula
and that kind of stuff, and so it's not true horror,
yeah,
at least what you kind of consider horror movies nowadays, but I think Glenn would have really enjoyed it, and there's a part of me that's kind of regretting that we didn't do it, but at the same time, I don't like being scared, so.
Yeah.
Well, not that kind of scared. I like roller coaster scares, but I don't like the other kind of
eatery.
Scares.
We highly recommend, the Flintstones barbecue. Man, the turkey, I got a turkey leg, that thing was mutant.
You know the scene in the Flintstones where Fred orders and they bring out the rack of ribs and the car falls over? It was kind of like that. They brought this thing out. It was
Sean's eyes dropped open.
It was a Chernobyl turkey leg. This thing was huge. And really good barbecue. Good flavor. I had a burger, but it was a good burger. So we can definitely recommend that one. And no fries. Homemade chips.
Homemade chips. Yeah.
Barbecue chips, which was cool. And then I think the other highlight for me that I really enjoyed of the trip, the other thing that we did was the studio tour.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a very cool, it's a tram ride. You get on and they take you backstage and kind of show you. And of course, Universal Studios is not just a theme park. It's a working
studio
lot. And so you get to go behind the scenes and do a lot of that stuff. They take you back to where the sound stages are and a lot of the fake street sets and that kind of stuff. And they've got the plane crash from War of the Worlds.
Yep, the Steven Spielberg
movie that's spread out there, and you kind of ride through that. And
they demonstrated the cars. That was really cool.
The stunt cars from Fast and the Furious.
The stunt cars from the Fast and the Furious on how... Because you're constantly... some of these movies that with cars flying around, you're like, oh my God, do they really do that? You know, how many cars do they go through doing that? And they demonstrated in these two cars that were kind of like on this hand joystick type thing. And it was really cool.
It's like a gimbal.
Gimbal. It was really cool. And then they made the cars dance.
Well, first they picked them up and threw them at us. And
yeah.
lit them on fire. And then they danced, which was cool. But the studio tour is really cool because, in addition to all that, I mean, we got the Fast and the Furious bit. We got
Jaws.
So if you're going to Universal and you want to see Jaws, you have to ride the studio tour.
And she made the joke. She goes, "No, this isn't the original Jaws. You know why? Because this one works."
One of my favorite stories. Side note: we went to Universal in Orlando, and they had the Jaws ride, or had. I don't know if they still do. And the guy was telling us that they took them years. I mean, it was like 6 years after the park opened before they opened Jaws. And they could not get the shark to work. And we asked, so what was the deal? He says, well, Orlando happens to be the lightning capital of the world. Oh, really? This is a little fact I didn't know. He goes, yeah, there are more lightning strikes per capita in Orlando than anywhere else in the world. And when you have a gigantic body of water with a giant metal shark in it, they couldn't find ways to insulate it. He says, this thing blew up 6 times a week. His lightning would just come down and fry the shark. And they'd had, so they finally figured out a way to insulate it and protect it before they opened it up to the public, which I thought was just the coolest. And the fact that it's Jaws and it didn't work. You know, that's just an added bonus. But so Jaws is on the studio tour.
King Kong.
We've got to talk about King Kong. Peter Jackson directed the segment in 3D from Weta Workshops, the people that did all the visual effects for King Kong and Lord of the Rings and Avatar, and it is amazing. It's some of the best 3D I've ever seen.
Yep.
And it's huge, and it's completely immersive, because what happens is that you're riding on the tram and you go to this thing about, you know, we're taking you back to Skull Island. Oh, put your 3D glasses on now. And so you get inside this, you know, it's a tunnel. It's really all it is. It's a tunnel.
It's a tunnel.
But the walls are 3D projection screens.
So you get to look on either side of you, and you actually get to see King Kong beating the holy crap out of those T-Rexes.
It's the scene, the two T-Rex scene from the movie, from the remake movie with King Kong, which is one of the most impressive parts of that film.
Mm-hmm.
But you're kind of in the middle of it. And so the T-Rexes come up, and Kong is fighting with one of them, and then he leaps over the tram car to the other screen.
And you can tell that he uses the tram as a kickoff, because the tram goes...
Oh, yeah, and they've got the whole thing on hydraulics, and so it's shaking and rocking back and forth. And then, of course, the cliff face falls, and you wind up in the vines, mm-hmm. and I mean, all that stuff. And it was amazing. It is very, very cool. And it's the world's largest 3D IMAX screen or something. I forget what they build it as. It's completely immersive, and it's incredible.
And then there was a mummy part on that one too.
With the rotating
wheel. And I don't know if you guys have you ever seen $6 Million Man. There's an episode of when he's tracking down the Sasquatch or whatever it is, and he goes into this tunnel thing. And the tunnel just starts spinning and spinning. Now, I love spinning rides. They don't bother me at all, because I'm looking over the edge and thinking, wow, this is cool. Look at this. You know, I'm seeing the tunnel move. At that point, I feel Sean grab me. And I look over, and he, you know, it's dark. You really can't see anything, but I'm pretty sure he's green at this point.
I made the mistake. And all it is the tram pulls into another tunnel, but then the walls are completely round and hieroglyphic. And then begin to rotate. So it creates this phenomenal optical illusion that
the tram is going. It's like the tunnel is rotating clockwise, and then the tunnel is rotating clockwise, and then all of a sudden it's just totally illusion.
I'm actually getting dizzy visualizing it in my head now. I've got
to... I swear to God, because I didn't recognize it or feel it until he grabbed me. I looked up, and it looks like the tram is rotating counterclockwise, and it's like, wow, that feels weird.
and they may have had the tram on a little bit of
a
gimbal or something at that point, too, one of the rockers. But I made the mistake if I was looking forward, so I'm looking down the entire length of the tram, getting this full-blown rotating effect. And finally, well, look away, dummy. So I tore my eyes away from that, and man, as soon as I tracked left or right, it was like, oh, and I was like, okay. I had to grab my elbow and close my eyes to ride this out and let my brain reset its equilibrium.
Everybody was a little happy to get out of that tunnel.
But that was, I mean, again, it was pretty cool. And then they also have Earthquake.
Earthquake, yep.
Which is part of, you go into the subway tunnel and there's an earthquake and, you know,
things
fall down.
I had seen Earthquake from a video of when you were on vacation with your family. That's why it looked familiar, because I had seen your video of you guys doing it.
And they did flash floods and all that. So, I mean, so you're getting... You know,
it's a full hour. Oh, and don't forget to mention the fact that when we were doing the tour, she said at one point, there's two times during the tour that I'm going to go 50% mic, and then I'm going to go totally dead, because they're actually shooting on some of the sets, so we can't make any noise. So we got two times during the set, we actually had to, you know, be quiet and just stroll through because they were actually on set. And guess where they happened to be shooting when we were strolling through? We looked up and there is the storefront or whatever, the building front of Bates Motel.
And the Psycho House in the background.
The Psycho House in the background,
and I'm 90% certain that that's where they're shooting that new, I believe it's on Showtime, but it's a new TV series called Bates Motel. And so that was where we had to be quiet. So I think we got to see some of the shooting of that, which was kind of...
Well, they were all outside, too.
I think they were on a break. I don't think they were actually shooting. But.
Yeah, nobody was talking or anything. They were on a break, but one of the guys was standing there. He was standing there waving his hand back and forth.
So, but yeah, the studio tour, I mean, it's a full hour to do the studio tour, but it's well worth it from the standpoint that, I mean, realistically, because you get Earthquake, you get Mummy, you get Jaws, you get King Kong. And,
well, and they show you how they do the big old lake thing where they park the water, and I mean, it's a lot of cool information.
There's a lot to it.
You got to mention the cars. Picture
cars. Oh, okay, so they have picture cars, which are cars that were actually used in pictures. And so it's kind of just a graveyard. Of vehicles. And so here's the car from Animal House, mm-hmm. the one that was in the parade, the big tank thing that they built. And here's a Ferrari from Magnum PI, which apparently is also a working vehicle, but it's not really a Ferrari. It's got a Volkswagen engine in it. It's just mm-hmm. the body molding of the Ferrari. And so we're going down this line of cars, and it's like, oh, hey, look, here's this. Oh, hey, look, there's this. And this was my moment that, despite my love of one, I felt the shift happen, because she didn't rattle it off in the list, but there was this thing, this yellow hunk of fiberglass and plastic and metal and stuff, and it was past me before I realized, as I turned to go, what is that? Then all of a sudden I realized what it was.
Mm.
It's the sled, the mule, from Serenity, the Firefly movie. They've got the sled.
And that's all they can talk about.
It was like, ah, Serenity, the thing! And I'm pointing inarticulate and making weird noises, to the point where I nearly missed the DeLorean. From Back to the Future.
And she said, she didn't even mention the Firefly vehicle, but then she says, well, you know, that's like one of seven that we had.
Yeah, there's several DeLoreans that they use for that. But, and so, you know, and me, you know me, I'm all about Back to the Future. I love me some DeLorean action. But I realized at that moment there was a shift in my fandom, because I was honestly a little more excited about the Firefly vehicle than I was the Back to the Future vehicle. Something, I don't know, it's kind of weird there. But yeah, so they've got a lot of prop cars, and of course the trailer from Jurassic Park, Lost World, and mm-hmm. you know, some other stuff. Very, very, very cool stuff there. But definitely the studio tour was a fairly amazing thing.
We got there a little after 11, and we didn't leave until about 7 o'clock. And the park closes at 6, but they have what they call City Walk before you get into Universal Studios. It's a bunch of shops and stuff, but within the City Walk they had this air ride.
I fly.
Oh man, that thing was freaking amazing, where you put on this jumpsuit thing and you go in there and it's this big pillow bush of air and you ride it, you just fly.
It's like a contained vortex tornado kind of thing. It's just a big plastic tube. Mm-hmm. And they put people in suits, and the fan kicks on the bottom, and they kind of, and up they go. We stood and watched. We didn't actually ride it, but we just stood and watched this for a while. It was kind of amazing. I'd never seen one up close like that before. Hard Rock Cafe and a bunch of other stuff.
Highly recommend it. And I think even if you've gone once, it's well worth going back again.
Oh, totally, yeah. Between that, I mean, just the immersive experience. And this was the cool thing for me. We walked into the Universal Studio Store. I mean, they've got a lot of gift shops there, but this is the Universal Studio Store, right? The big one. And so right up front, I see, hey, we've got Jaws t-shirts. Over here, we've got Back to the Future t-shirts. And what's on the table next to them?
Doctor Who!
Doctor Who. They had Doctor Who t-shirts with the TARDIS. You know the one. The TARDIS outline shirt at Universal Studios. And this is not like at the City Walk Park. This is inside the park. And it wasn't at one of the specialty shops. It was at the Universal Studios store. They had Doctor Who stuff. And we found all the time we've been down here. We found stuff at Hot Topic. We found stuff at the...
I can't remember that one store.
That one store that... we just everywhere we went. Now, granted, it was all the same stuff, but it didn't matter. It's just Doctor Who stuff is out there. So it was really kind of cool. And, of course, we kind of had to temper ourselves because we were like, oh, look, they got Doctor Who stuff. And we're looking at it, we're picking it up and touching it and ready to buy. And then all of a sudden it's like, we're going to be doing this all weekend.
Dark Horse, that's who had it.
The Dark Horse comic store had it, which that one I can see because that's a big comic book store. But just unreal presence of Doctor Who stuff out there. So it's a good time to be a fan. I think that's a good way to wrap it up.
Yeah.
We're going to kind of get into
Doctor Who.
We'll end it with Doctor Who because we're going to get into some Doctor Who stuff all weekend long. So just a little side trip for you. Ran a little bit longer than what I thought we would, but we kind of do that. So if you're interested in our travel logs, you can do this one. And if not, then hopefully the rest of the galley updates will be to your liking. But we'll certainly have more for you later. I'm Sean.
I'm Mel.
And this is a special report for Traveling the Vortex leading up to the big convention, the Doctor Who Gallifrey One. What is it? Gallifrey One's 24 Hours of Gallifrey One.
Yeah.
The 50th anniversary of Doctor Who. So, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Been listening to Traveling the Vortex. Doctor Who and all of its associated programs are owned and trademarked by the BBC. No infringement is intended or implied.